Coming up on TMS, those girls at the park made me feel ancient and creepy.
You know, now that I hear that one, it actually sounds like it's going to be even funnier than I expected. Oh, the FBI stopped a bomb threat because of Twitter and stuff.
Hey, that's great. The oldest pants in the world.
Jonah Hill is in trouble for not liking them gays.
Brad Pitt addresses his attacker.
Uh-oh. Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Busy you, in and out of doors every day. Think how much dust and dirt settle on your skin. And makeup clings to your skin, too, and clogs pores. That's why your face needs a thorough cleansing each day. And that's why cleansing tests were made by an independent testing laboratory. This same kind of dirt was made just radioactive enough to register on a Geiger counter. Leading cleansing creams, complexion soaps, and Dorothy Gray Salon Coal Cream were used to remove this dirt. The Geiger counter proved that Dorothy Gray Salon Coal Cream cleanses up to 2.5 times more thoroughly than any soap or other cleansing cream tested.
Oh, higgledy piggledy.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
This is The Morning Stream. The hell you say?
Yeah, I got the mute button on there. Hello, everybody. Hello. Hello. I have a theory that it's the bad luck on the show when I forgot my mute button was on when I start to roll into my opener there. I don't know what that is.
It's like some people have dreams where they wake up or where they're late for a test and they're naked and they walk into their classroom. And
yeah. Oh.
You have a dream that you accidentally forgot to turn off the mute button.
Now that I think about it, I would have preferred that other one, I think, because I never had that one.
Really?
Yeah, never had that.
Well,
one.
I guess I didn't either. It's funny. It's like
it's a stereotype, right? It's like
it's the stereotype, but I don't know anybody who's ever had that dream.
I mean, I've had the I'm falling dream and then wake up on the floor of your bed because you fell out. I've had I'm the head of the hose on this fire team and we are coming to a major backdraft fire and we got to save everybody.
I'm the head of the hose.
I'm the head of the hose. And and then I woke up slowly with the burning city around me dissolved around me and my room came into focus and I was peeing on a pile of clothes. So that happened when I was in seventh grade. Never forgot that one. That was a rough one. Waking up in the middle of the night, peeing on a pile of clothes is just about the most jarring experience you can have as a 15-year-old. Brian, 15. That's old enough to, you know, I'm doing math and reading books, you know, like I'm not an idiot.
Feeling like, oh my God, my mind is not my
I can't control this. If I can't have enough self-control that it literally got me out of bed and peeing on a pile of dirty clothes and now dirtier clothes, then what control do I have? I don't have any. But I am here to tell you, it's the Morning Stream. Wednesday, June 4th, 2014. It's me and it's Brian.
I peed my pants and my shirt and my socks.
I think a shoe got dirty too. So it was bad. That was a bad time. But today's a good time because
today's a good time.
Older, wiser. I'm not waking up and walking around anywhere when I do sleep. So it's all good.
This is a show that may not make you want to pee on anything, is what we're saying today.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I wonder, you know, there's triggers, right? People have certain trigger words, like if they've been brainwashed and they're really a sleeper cell and they don't know it. So
Frank Sinatra, I think it was the Queen of Diamonds, but I can't remember for sure.
Yeah, something like that. Or if I said to you, like if your keyword was bumbleberry pie, and then suddenly you went on a murder rampage.
I must kill the president.
right. Those kinds of things.
Or the queen. That was what it was.
The queen,
must kill the queen.
It's better to say the queen anyway. Here when the NSA is listening carefully to this morning show. Anyway, the point of all that is nothing. I don't have a point. What I am going to tell you, though, is a story. And the story involves really one of the most depressing moments I think I've ever had in my life.
Oh, no.
Yesterday. And you can talk me down from this cliff because I think you'll probably have some thoughts on it. But I'm at the I'm doing a jog. I'm jogging. All right? Like not a full-on run, not like this, not a walk, but a jog, a little in-between piece of business yesterday. Sure. And it was warm outside and breezy and a wonderful day for a run. And my allergies were kind of at bay at the moment. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to go run around the lake and I'm going to come back around those two bridges and I'm going to just have a great run. So I went and I did that.
Admit it. You were prancercising.
I was prancercising. Absolutely, yeah. I was. You've broken this story wide open. Is that lady still doing that? That's still a thing, right?
I'm sure it is, right. Yeah.
Have you seen this new... Sorry, now that we're talking about video memes real quick. Have you seen Luigi's Death Stare videos?
No.
Holy crap. They're my favorite new thing on the internet. I got to send you one of these. Hold on.
Okay.
Now it's going to drive me crazy.
Should we stick a pin in that and
you know what? I'll wait until I'm done with this story.
So, yeah, I want to hear this story.
This is me seeing a shiny thing and then running toward it.
Sorry.
So no, it's fine. It's really good though. You're going to love these. It's going to make me buy a Wii U. I'm sure of it. Anyway, so I'm running and I'm doing my thing and now I'm kind of on the last leg of it. And the part that I like to go by is this park. Just a, you know, average park, big rectangular thing with a path around it. And there's houses on both sides or whatever. And I'm running there. And as I come around the corner, two girls, probably 16 or so, 15, 16 year old girls. Okay. Mm-hmm. I see them there. They're in kind of workout clothes, look like they're doing some kind of run themselves, or maybe they're part of the gym across the street and they're out doing the outdoor part, or I couldn't tell. But one of the girls immediately I thought was our neighbor. Neighbor's daughter. I'm like, oh, I know her. So I'm going to be friendly. I'm going to be nice here. I'm not just going to put my head down and run. I'm going to actually say hello because this is someone I know, right? She's friendly. I know her. Sometimes she'll carpool with Kim, although usually not because she has to go early because she's all into sports and stuff. And all of this seemed jive with her out working out in the morning, right? So I thought, well, this has got to be that. So I swing around by these two girls and I go, and this is me in my ugly black shorts and stupid nerdtacular shirt and dumb hat on backwards and looking like a, you know, 44-year-old dingus out running. And there's these two very youthful, active young ladies, right, out doing their thing.
Right.
And I think one of them I know. So I come swinging around the corner and I go, hey, like that. Hey, just like that.
Uh-huh.
And they look at me and go, hey, like that sound. And I realize as they're saying it and as I'm rounding the turn, I don't know that girl.
Oh, no.
She's not the one I thought she was. She's somebody else, but she looked a lot like her from, you know, 20 yards away. So I think I must have sounded like the creepiest, lamest guy greeting these two, you know, these two pretty 16-year-old girls. And then as I run by, they go, I hear him go, ugh.
Bad, oh, no.
Bleh, like some kind of like disdain sound.
Ugh.
I know. It's horrible, dude. Because I'm not like.
And you don't want to go back and say, no, I thought you were one of my daughter's friends. And you like make it even more awkward.
No, I mean, you're talking about Costanza-ing the joint, right? I could have gone back and done a George. And I couldn't bring myself to do it, but the thought occurred to me, you should go back there and go, hey, I totally just thought you were somebody I knew. I wasn't trying to be a weirdo, but right. I couldn't do it.
Right. Well, so plus it would have made things even weirder. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I just kept running and just going.
The only thing you can really do at this point is move.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going, I'm running. And then I hear behind me giggling and laughing, and they may have been laughing about something totally different, but it didn't matter. It was about me in my head because I had just had this hideous, hey, exchange with these girls. Now, if it would have been the girl I knew, she would have gone, oh, hi. You know, it would have been no big deal. Right, they're real friendly and nice, and I see them all the time. But this was not her, and therefore I look like, who was I like? I don't even know what to compare this to. Like, it's just the creepiest.
All I can think of is Stephen Merchant in that HBO show, Hello Ladies, that I wish was still on.
That didn't get renewed or whatever, did it?
I don't know if it did or not.
Sometimes they just do limited run stuff, not even planning on renewing. It's right, like, here's 10 episodes, have at it.
Exactly. That's what we're moving on to something else.
Yeah, exactly. So I had to do that. I had to move on to something else. But for the whole rest of the day, I was kind of tinged by it. Kind of like just sitting around doing stuff, getting work done, dealing with things and going, I feel like the oldest. Like I should go get a fake tan and drive a convertible Miata or something I got used. Like, where's my midlife now? You know, it was awful. It was an awful experience. And all it was a misunderstanding. It was no big deal. Really, right. In the larger right. scheme of things, not that big a deal. You think those girls remember it now? No. They have moved on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You've dwelled on it way more than they have. They, you know, they've, oh, it's over there. Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, well, Ryan Felipe. Huh?
Right.
And they were on to something else.
Is Ryan Felipe or Philippi or whatever, is that still a thing?
Whatever it is, I don't think it is.
I don't think it's still a thing. See, that there again, illustrative of my point.
How out of touch.
It's so quick. It's so fleeting, yeah. You know? 1 minute you're Ryan Philippi. The next minute you're an old fart running past you on a track.
One Direction.
Harry Styles.
I'm so out of touch. What's popular, kids?
Well, Harry Styles is still pretty big on that One Direction okay. deal. He's a thing.
All right.
I'm trying to think. The kids are into... the problem is my kids are into what I'm into. So
yeah,
I don't,
yeah. So they're not a good...
they're terrible barometer
right,
for this.
Barometer, right. Exactly.
They're not coming home with the latest pop culture needs. They're more like, Dad, do you see this Vine video? It's totally funny. You know, that's what the kids are into. They're into Vine right now. That's the kid. That's the teenage playground right there. I'll tell you what.
And Snapchat. Yeah. Tristan's still all over the Snapchat.
Snapchat's pretty good. That's where you can show your wiener.
I'm getting so many Snapchats, I can't keep up with them.
Yeah, you can show your wiener in there. You can put your, that's what it's for, right? Sometimes, am I using it right?
Those videos just take a long time to record and get the lighting just right.
Yeah,
and
that's never quite right, too. That's
you want to get somebody with small hands to make things look bigger?
This is all true. I don't know how I feel about any of this.
While I take a picture.
But I feel, yeah, hang on while I take a selfie. Okay, there we go. Anyway, and maybe that's what I should have done out on the track. Whipped out my phone and go, oh, hold on, ladies. Let me take a selfie. Take a shot of myself and like duck right. face for it and then run past them.
No. You should have, you're close to what you should have done, actually. Now you say that. You should have, as soon as you realized it wasn't her, put your finger to your ear. Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, no, I'm sorry. Did you think I was talking to you? Oh, no. I'm talking to somebody on my Bluetooth device.
Yeah, I should have done that. I should have said, I'm talking to my very rich friend, Harry Styles. He's on the phone. You may have heard of him. And I should have done all right. that. And so to celebrate, I'm going to take a selfie while I record here this morning. Here we go.
Perfect.
No, I'm going to do a duck face. There we go. Oh, that looks terrible. That's going nowhere fast. all right. So that's that. It's just a kind of a depressing set of circumstances. And I don't know. I look back now and I don't know what I would have done different. I'm a friendly guy and I want to say hi to people I know. And I thought I knew her. The other one, I didn't have any idea who she was. She didn't look familiar, but I just thought she was just her friend. Yeah. The more I talk about it, the more mad it makes me. I couldn't. You know what I should have done? I should have just run past and let them say hi to me if they know me. And if they don't, well, none's the wiser.
Right.
Why did I go out of my way? I would have felt just as bad, maybe. Well, maybe not quite as bad. But it was a really old lady. I could have said, oh, hey, and then been wrong. That wouldn't have been the same, would it? Because this challenges my I don't know. It taps into that primal thing of we wish we were always young forever, you know?
Right, exactly. Yes. Damn this kind of shows that, oh, I've fallen out of where I could just go up and talk to somebody and not have them think I'm creepy.
Because for a long time, I felt like I could do that anyway. I relate to kids really well. I feel like they get me. I had a great time at that high school.
Sure.
Kids aren't going, hey, who's this old fart? It's not like that. You know, I get it. I'm right. with the times. I understand stuff. It's not like I'm out of touch or a cranky old get off my yard kind of guy. But this one moment in time, man, and it's sticking with me. And the fact that it doesn't stick with them is part of what pisses me off. Because they aren't even thinking about it, even in a negative way. They're done. They're over it. I'm over here going, oh, let me just stew in this for another week.
You're sitting there deciding, when I go out for my next run, am I going to go a different direction? Like, do I have to pick a new park to run through?
Right. Anyway, ugly stuff. Ugly business, that. So let's just launch into Daryl, because he's right. older than me, and it'll feel better.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. I got to lean over this time, because Skype screwed up.
Be-doodly-doo. All right, here we go. We got it going now. We're good. His theme begins like this. It's Stump a Truck Nerd, and it's brought to you by...
Ever wonder what aspiring video game characters do before they're cast in games? Join Iggy, Frogdor, and Melody as they pursue their dreams while trying to survive day-to-day life in 8-Bit Adventures, a comic about life, love, gaming, and pie cake. check it out at 8bitadventures.com. That's 8-bitadventures.com or patreon.com/8bitadventures without the hyphen this time.
Mm, I like
8-bit adventures. Search for it.
Frog Door is a good name. I like that.
Frog Door.
Frog Door. All right. What are we doing here? Oh, yeah. Daryl, hi. What are you up to? 1930. Daryl, it's 1930. Daryl.
Hello, ladies.
And he's with us, as always, to do Star Trek trivia, because we're big Star Trek fans, and also we just like hanging out and doing stuff, so that's what we're going to do here. Good news, everyone. Good news. If we haven't mentioned it before, at Nerdtacular 2014 in beautiful Snowbird, Utah, Daryl will be joining us for the Saturday morning stream to do some Star Trek trivia.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Yay.
Live!
Pull him up on stage. Now, Daryl, you can't freeze up. You're going to get up there and you see all those faces and go, and then forget your answer. You gotta show them the knowledge still. Still, even then, you gotta like get up and say, I know Star Trek. Are you ready for that? Are you feeling good about that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You're a little nervous.
In real life, I would be nervous and it would be horrible, but this isn't real life.
Yeah, it's kind of fake. All this stuff's just a big mirage. And I trust Daryl because
he is smart.
All right, so let's do this thing.
Make it go.
Let's play a game, and that game is not Tic-Tac-Toe with Matthew Broderick. It is, in fact, Star Trek trivia, and here is your question. Ever wonder what aspiring video game characters do before they're... Oh, that's the ad. In the Next Generation episode, The Price, various delegates are bidding on the rights to a stable wormhole. What planet does this wormhole appear by? Is it Barzan 2, Remil 6... Gemma 4 or Amelia 2? I don't know why I was going before the 6. I think I thought it was a 4. I was having some dyslexia there. Speaking of dyslexia, I don't want to just run into this, but Tom Cruise there, you know the Tom Cruise?
Yeah, yeah.
I hear his new movie's really good.
Yes, I had a clout perk to go see that, and it is a smart, exciting, and thrilling adventure ride from start to finish.
It says here 91% on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know how you do better than that. In fact, great week for openers. The five movies or the four top movies opening are all in the 90s.
Oh wow,
yeah,
really?
That's a rarity.
What else is coming out?
The Fault of the Stars or The Fault in Our Stars, Willow Creek. That's where I grew up, by the way. I had a house in Willow Creek.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. When I was a kid. And Obvious Child. None of these I know what they are, but they're all rated highly already. Let's see. Edge of Tomorrow, 2014. Gripping, well-acted, funny, and clever. Edge of Tomorrow offers entertaining proof that Tom Cruise is still more than capable of shouldering the weight of a blockbuster action thriller. Well, alrighty then. Cool. I'm happy because on the surface of it, with all those trailers, you just might come away going, I don't know.
It's Groundhog Day in space. Eh, what else?
That's kind of what it is. Are they at some point going to run into a guy in a giant mech suit who goes, Ned?
Ding again. I sure as heck fire remember you.
You remember from space high school?
Yeah. Emily Blunt is one of my favorite actresses, so I'm stoked about her being in it. I know you're not a fan of her chin.
Yeah, you don't like her chin. Can't get past her chin.
I could get totally past her chin. So, Daryl.
Whoa,
easy there, Chief. What was I going to tell you earlier about something?
The
Brian?
Death Stare, the Luigi Death Stare.
Oh, you got to see. Did they see the video?
Somebody sent me a page full of GIFs, animated GIFs. These are hilarious.
They're brilliant. And the best ones are the YouTube ones because they put like rapper music behind them. They're right. So good. And Luigi is not taking any shite from any. He launches a turtle shell into his nemesis and then looks back with the most evil stare.
Oh my God, these are hilarious.
It makes me want that game. All right, Daryl, it's who knew that Nintendo's greatest marketing moment would be a bunch of viral videos about an accident in their game? It's fantastic. Daryl, it's that question that you'll answer here in a minute. But before you do, let's play. Hold on here. Let's play this right here.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Much a foodie.
Taffy Day again.
Taffy Day. By the way, we should probably read the email from our Taffy benefactor. Benefactor?
Oh, sure. Benefactor.
Yeah. Mike Haley says, I'm the one who sent the Taffy location for the store. You can find the flavor you want. Below is an email, blah, blah, blah. Small World, Brewcrafters, and Dead Panic. That's his SBD name convention there.
Oh.
The Morning Stream, along with a lot of other Frog Pants podcasts, have helped me through some hard times over the last three or so years. I wanted to contribute to the food segment and show my appreciation to all of you. Oh. The saltwater taffy and seafoam chocolate are from the Seaside Candyman in Seaside, Oregon. The taffy should be kept at room temperature, out of direct sunlight. They should easily be good for 6 months. There are a lot of flavors you can get in your bags. I added a little part right there. And you should all have the same, with the exception of Scott's bag, missing licorice with a random flavor in its place.
Yay!
There's a taffy guide with each box so you can see what it is. There's some with alcohol drink flavors, but they don't have any alcohol in the candy. Hope you enjoy the treats. I'll see you in Nerdtacular 2014. Play a game, yo.
Sweet,
Mike
dude.
Bailey.
All right. When I get a hug from that guy at Nerdtacular, it better be all sticky and stretchy when he does it. So
and an unrecognizable flavor we have to look up later.
Yes, exactly. And by the way, thank you so much for not including licorice, black licorice flavored in there, because I hate that stuff with a fiery passion from the heavens and hells themselves. I hate it.
All right,
from hell's heart I stab at
thee.
Stab at thee.
So I'm right, eating I'm eating a cherry one.
I'm reaching in, pulling out a random, and I get oh wow, this has got to be watermelon.
You think
green
so?
Green on the outside, it's. Then has a ring of white and then a ring of red, so it's got to be. There is a watermelon.
Hey, I see that one.
Do you see that one?
Is that this one? Well, it's got a ring of green and then oh, it looks like sushi, and then there's white and then red in the middle.
Yeah, I have that one too.
Yeah.
Do you think all of these are unique? Are we getting one of every kind, or are there dupes in here?
Oh, I see what you're saying. There might be dupes.
Yeah,
who
I
knows?
Don't know. Because I feel like I've had a few that are kind of the same. I'm going to eat this cherry one. It's really good. So far, the cherry ones are my favorites, by the way.
Huh, cool.
They have cherry in them. Oh, that's so good.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt, watermelon.
You like it?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I might be having the exact same one.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, watermelon.
Well, see? That's amazing, right? That's what we want. Mm. Oh, it's like... It's like cherry and sweetness and a little salty
and a caveman.
And a caveman. It's really good. All right, Daryl, let's move past that while you got a mouthful of the Denver there, and let's do a birthday in the Star Trek universe. By the way, I keep hearing about Riker doing sex scene commentary in the new A Million Ways to Die in the West or whatever. And apparently it is changing everybody's impression of Riker forever and always. Like, I don't know much about it. Boy, Daryl is a loud masticator, isn't he? Can you hear that? That is some mastication. It's like listening to a retiree try to get a nicotine lozenge down. Hold on. I'm going to see if there's a video of this, if we can get a taste of it. I don't know if there's any clips. All the Google sites are slow today. Is anyone noticing this?
No.
Super slow. YouTube slow. Gmail was real slow for me this morning. I can't get a YouTube to come up.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I don't think it's me. Maybe it is. I don't know. Okay, Jonathan Frakes. Frakes on a plane is the first search that comes up. That's funny. All right, Frakes Die West. All right. I know how to search for things.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
A Million Ways Die in the... Okay. These are all trailers. I don't want that. Okay, here we go. Elders react to A Million Ways to Die in the West. Who are the elders? Okay, hurry up.
How they do it.
Oh, it's video series of, like, old people that react to stuff in movies.
Like, they've got kids reacting to Walkmans and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that.
All right, never mind. That's dumb. Anyway, apparently he does, like, commentary, like, narration. About sex scenes or something. And now everyone's like, oh, Jonathan Frakes. I can't even look at you anymore. That's what I'm hearing. That's the Twitter buzz that's going around about Jonathan Frakes. Anyway, mm-hmm. It's not his birthday. Whose birthday is it?
Well, that would be Michelle Phillips.
Mm.
She is 70 today.
From the Mamas and the Papas?
No.
Probably not.
Mm. Okay.
She was on the TNG season one episode "We'll Always Have Paris" and played Janice Mannheim.
Oh, there she is. Yep, I know this woman.
Well, she's Michelle lovely. Phillips did turn 70 today from Mamas and the Papas.
Oh, is that her? Is that
I wonder if she guest starred on an episode of.
Oh, that's crazy!
Star Trek.
Are you kidding? There's no way they have the same birthday, and it's not her. It's got to be her.
Yeah.
June 4th,
1944, turned 70.
I remember this episode. She was lovely. She had side boob in it. She did. She was wearing that weird silver spacesuit thing. It's an early season one thing, right? Because Picard's in his skinny suit.
I'm scrolling through to see if she was on Fantasy Island. She was on the Love Boat. It's a really good chance that she was on Star Trek.
It's totally
Murder, She Wrote, T.J. Hooker.
From the Mamas and the Papas?
Hotel. There it is. Janice Manheim, Star Trek Next Generation.
Oh, that's crazy. All right. Well, give me a Mamas and Papas song.
All the leaves are brown.
The leaves are brown. Okay, that's what I thought.
And the sky is gray.
And the sky is gray. I went for a walk. All right. I think the B-52 should redo that song.
I went for a walk.
I went for a walk. And then the girls could do, went for a walk. And he could go, on a winter's day. I brought me a Chrysler. I love that guy. Fred Phillips. Yeah. Fred
Schneider.
Fred Schneider. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, she guest starred on everything. Seventh Heaven, The Magnificent Seven, Hotel, Beverly Hills 90210.
Wow.
Love Boat, Knott's Landing.
Knocking it out, man.
Mm-hmm.
And she's lovely.
Yeah.
Look at her. She's held up nicely, and I don't see any major work done. So take that, everyone else.
Yeah.
Take that, Kanye West, Kim Kardashian of the world. By the way, I'm trying to think of a thing that matters to me less than the Kanye West and Kim Kardashian's wedding. It's really hard for me to find it,
yeah,
to even think of it. I mean, we don't even bring it up on Celebrity Poop, where you know, we have low standards. I don't care, dude.
There's so little about that.
That whole thing.
You know what, though? Good for them. They're saving two other people.
I guess. I mean,
taking a bullet for the whole rest of the world.
Well, you say that as if it'll last. You say that as if they will always be married.
True.
And I cannot see. I would like everyone to just jump forward 30 years. Do we see a retired Kanye West with his lovely old aging wife?
Together. Yeah.
Yeah. Nope. Not a damn chance. Mark my words. Daryl, back to your question. It's this one about the price here. And you got these delegates and the delegates. They've got their delegates. And the wormhole is next to a planet. Is it Barzan 2, Remil 6, Gemma 4, or I guess it's Amelia 2. It's a weird way to spell Amelia, but whatever.
Amelia 2. She was on Doctor Who.
Amelia 2?
Yeah.
Or Amelia also? Yeah.
Let's see. I'm going to cross that one out.
Okay.
Cross that. Oh, and the reason I'm not nervous about Nerdtacular is because that's family.
Yeah, so it is family, right?
Why should you be nervous?
Well, what if we're abusive parents, though, once you get there? What if we punch you in the arm and, I don't know.
Fart? Well, we won't do any physical abuse.
What if we fart on your head? Like, you know, like parents do. My parents never farted on my head. Don't send me emails saying that explains a lot. I get it. Daryl, have you had that experience where you're running at the park or at the gym and someone thinks you think you may know them, and then when you realize you don't, you feel like an old fart, creepy old fart? Has that ever happened to you?
Well, I don't say anything unless I'm 100% sure, because then that would happen.
Yeah.
And it probably happened a lot, too.
Yeah.
Hello.
So, okay, sorry. I interrupted you. You're doing this episode. You're picking a question. You're doing a thing. You're answering a question, rather.
Okay, back to this.
Yeah.
Gemma? What is it? Gemma 4? What?
Gemma 4. Gemma 4 is truly outrageous. It's Gemma 4, Remil 6, Barzan 2, and Amelia 2.
Okay.
Not in that order, but whatever.
We've crossed out Amelia. Gemma, that's like somebody else, so I'm going to cross that out. And this is a planet. Why would they call a planet, though? So it's between Barzan and Rem. Whatever you said.
Remil 6, yes.
That's a dumb name.
I agree. I completely agree with you. That is a stupid planet name. All of these are. I don't like the numbered planets because they always assume that people are going to want to live on a planet with a number on it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, I guess Earth, well, that's, Earth 2.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be that hard to come out with an actual different name.
Right.
Instead of just a sequel.
Earth 4. Where are you from? I'm from Earth 4. I'm from Earth Prime, man. We're cool.
Well, it'd usually be the moons, right? It would be the habitable moons. So it'd be Earth, and then the moon would be Earth 2.
Now, that I could deal with. That feels because they're subject to the larger thing, right?
Or the sun.
It's the
star. Yeah, the sun and then the planets, right?
It also implies that the Federation swung in and took charge and named it because nobody living there who grew up there called it Barzan 2. They called it whatever they called it because they didn't know about other planets while they were developing as a culture, right?
Right.
So they were probably called, you know, Zimzam or something. And then they got to the point where they were like, oh, there are other beings from other planets. And the Federation rolled in and went, hey, y'all, you're going to be Barzan 2 because there's another planet over there we named Barzan 1. And you don't even want to hear about Barzan 3. Ugh.
I wonder if they would change the name. Maybe that's what they do. They find somebody there and say, oh, what planet is this? And they tell them, and then, oh, we'll change your name then. We were calling you Zibzab 6. Now you're Tromulus 3.
Zibzab 6.
And Tromulus.
I take everything I said before back. I would live on Zibzab 3. Totally live there. I would thrive there. All right. Sorry. Back to your deal.
Although you wouldn't change the number because unless you sorted the planets.
Exactly. That's the other thing. How do you even know? It's a dumb thing they do. That's a dumb thing. I get it. I understand it. Whatever. It sounds sci-fi, but it wouldn't work in practicality. That's all.
I don't know.
I know. And we talked about it. We got it wrong. I mistakenly said it was Earth, and then the moons would be the Earth 2, Earth 3, Earth 4. No. It's the sun.
Yeah. Oh, right.
You can quit your tadpool talk now.
Yeah, go back to talking about douches and animated GIFs of Brian, whatever.
Our actual planet name is Sol 3.
Right.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, then I'm dumb because I didn't know that. And here's the thing. If that's the truth, well, then that kind of makes sense because then it's the Barzan sun. The sun is called Barzan, or the sun is called Gemma. Oh, I didn't realize that. All right, that's not fair. On the day I have the embarrassing experience with young people, you're now also telling me I didn't know that we're Sol 3 in the larger scheme of the solar system? That's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. That's amazing, though. I understand that now. I'm going to teach my children. I'm going to pass it down.
So Pluto lost his name, like both lost its status and its other name. So it can't be Sol 9 anymore because it's not a planet. It's just
Sol
trash. Bonus Sol, track.
Bonus track. Yes. Yeah. How about this? How about we convert, let's say Neptune turns out, ooh, we can make all our food there because we're running out of resources here on Earth, mm-hmm. or Sol 3. So can we rename Neptune to Sol Food? Can we do that? I went a long way for that joke. All right, Daryl. Sorry. We're going to get back to your damn question now.
Okay.
We have avoided this long enough. Yeah.
If you took a train to the sun, would it be the Sol train?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't think of any more.
Okay.
If the sun explodes and I live, can I be the Sol survivor?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Sol
You'd
survivor.
Be a Sol man.
Sol man, right. There's probably more.
And if I scraped off some of the sun and put on the bottom of my feet, I'd have souls.
You'd have souls. All right, now we have gone in new territory.
Okay, that's too far now.
Answer the f-ing question.
Okay, A.
Oh, A, you say A, Barzan 2? Right. Oh, good Lord. Let's find out if he's right.
Congratulations!
You are right.
You're a winner!
It's funny, you probably knew that the entire time, and we were completely just burning time. The wormhole appears near Barzan 2. There is a chance, or there's a character, rather, named Mendoza in this episode. We gotta get Mendoza! Here's a clip of Picard introducing the delegates to Counselor Troy. She has a camel toe. Here you go.
You know, Mr. Mendoza, the Federation negotiator.
Pleasure to see you again, Counselor Troy. This is a worthy Federation competitor in the bidding, Leor of the Caldonians.
Madame.
And I'm Devonani Rao.
Ship's Counselor, Deanna Troy.
My good friend Raul is the best hired gun in the business.
Hired gun?
My good friend Mendoza means that I'm a negotiator who serves a variety of clients.
We've got to stop Mendoza.
I hated that.
When Troy introduces herself, she gets a little keyboard accompaniment.
Here's the thing, though. I don't know why that clip is so quiet. Hey, Mike.
Ice Worm.
Amp those up, man. That's it. Good job. Way to go. Perfect week so far. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. He's also at This Week in Trek and the Grumpy Cast. You can also find him in bars. I don't know what I'm saying. Daryl, time for you to share with us a little game that we're going to call Star Trek something or not. What is it?
Okay. Is this a Star Trek plant or actual plant?
Here's your theme. All right.
Weeper plant.
Weeper.
Weeper plant.
Weeper.
Weeper. Huh.
This is a hard one because that's either way, man.
Yeah. Again, it sounds like if they were trying to come up with a name for the TV show, they would have said Weeper plant. No, that sounds silly. But in real life, somebody would say, oh, yeah, we're naming that after Larry Weeper, who discovered it.
Larry Von Weeper of the Weeper Institute.
Right.
Found that plant. You know what happens when you eat a Weeper plant? Do you know what happens? This. Every time. I'm going to just say, I feel like real.
Kill me.
You know that's what that must be like. I think I'm going to go real plant. There's just something in my gut.
That's what I'd be leaning towards.
What do you say, Daryl? How are we doing?
Okay. Remember that first season TOS episode with the hand-operated, stupid-looking plant thing?
Yes! That was the Weeper plant?
That's the Weeper plant. Oh, no.
My gut told me wrong, stupid gut.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by BunnyDisco.com. Give your plants an extra, whether Star Trek or real plants, give them an extra boost with Bunny Bomb's Black Powder Seed Boost, made from pulverized bunny poo. Available only at BunnyDisco.com. Use coupon code MORNING to save 20% on an order of Bunny Bombs. Crafts, plants, and poo. BunnyDisco.com.
That may be my favorite one anyone's ever sent us.
It really is.
And the way you read it, just kind of dead serious read, is that was all just wonderful. Everything about that was great. Really, really loved that.
That's great.
All right. Be our
sponsor forever, buddy.
Yeah, no, never go away. Always stay. All right. Let's see here. What do we got here? The FBI. Oh, look at this. Some serious news here. The FBI says bomb plot was found via social media and was thwarted as a result. So look at them kicking in, going, you know, we may be spying on you, but it actually pays off sometimes, is what they're saying. Bomb materials found in the apartment of San Francisco public relations consultant arrested in a manhunt included equipment that could have allowed him to detonate a device from afar, court papers showed Tuesday. You know, I wonder, if you went through somebody's house, any given house in the country,
sure,
do you think you could find enough stuff to detonate a device from afar? I think you probably could. You know what I mean? Like, it's not all... I mean, you could take your average garage. Let's say Brian Nibbitt's house in Arvada, right?
Sure.
You go through that place, you're going to find enough stuff that you could make something bad, don't you think?
Well, yeah, but not assembled. I mean,
that's a good point.
You got to MacGyver all that stuff together. I don't even know what I've got in this house that you could put together and make anything that that could explode, or especially something that could be remote detonated. I could probably, you know, I've got remote controls that I could probably play music from across the street, but I don't know if I can.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, call a number. Well, I mean, it's just a freaking infrared receiver.
I'm thinking you had some high tech something going on there.
Oh, God, no. But right. I'm thinking, you know, like, what do you know? You've got to be able to basically call a number, have a thing that triggers from your phone that then does something to detonate a bomb. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. I think it's, yeah, I mean, from afar, it depends on how far from afar is.
There's more to it than what we, yeah, there's more to it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. garage door opener is exactly right, Lazy Dog. There you go.
Ryan Kelly Chamberlain, three names, that's always bad. Mm-hmm. 42, arrested near the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco Monday after he wrote a post on social media that suggested he was a threat. FBI Special Agent David Johnson told reporters on Tuesday in a search of Chamberlain's apartment over the weekend, FBI found a rust-colored messenger bag with bomb materials inside, according to a criminal complaint filed Tuesday in federal court. Authorities did not discuss specific contents of the social media posting and raised alarms. Did it get deleted? I wonder if it's not public anymore.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
The San Francisco Chronicle reported that he sent an automated farewell message timed to go out on Monday to friends and family. Ooh, via social media, which he spoke about his depression, romantic heartbreak, and the loss of his job. Chamberlain was a public relations contractor for several local tech and marketing companies, his online resume shows. So anyway, good on them, I guess, for sniffing that out.
Yeah, and it's, it definitely brings into question the what is enough evidence from a tweet or a Facebook post or whatever to get you that search warrant to be able to go in and search the house, you know?
Yeah. Wow. I don't know. It makes me wonder. Like, sometimes I'll tweet something and go, should I have said that even though I was kidding? Did someone read that and go, I wonder if Scott needs to be surveilled?
I hate Justin Bieber. Hashtag blow him up. Okay, let's go search the house.
Hashtag explode him, please. Yeah, I don't know. That kind of stuff weirds me out. But good job there, Ryan Kelly Chamberlain, on being thwarted by the police. Because you're better off now than you would have been otherwise. All right. We have now discovered. that's true. Great American discovery. Or not American. Great mankind discovery.
There we go.
We have discovered the world's oldest pants. World's oldest pants.
Yay!
Yeah, they were not my tough skins from 74 either.
They're available at the Burlington Coat Factory on Highway 26.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Oddly enough, they're pleated.
And a pair. These are even weirder. And a pair of excavated from tombs in Yanghai, China. They're the oldest known pants in the world, according to Science News. They were worn by nomadic horsemen between 3,300 and 3,000 years ago. A new study published on May 22nd finds, with straight-fitted legs and a wide crotch, the ancient wool...
So, relaxed fit is basically what they're trying to say.
Yeah, these are 5'10s or something.
It's the relaxed fit, yeah.
Whatever those are. Remember the 5.0 everythings they used to do, and that was the big deal?
Yeah, Levi's 501, 502. Yeah.
I had a pair of 505s upstairs, I think. I still have some.
Yeah.
They still do that, though? That's still a thing, I wonder? Probably.
I think so, yeah.
Huh. That was a big deal for them.
I haven't bought Levi's in forever. I guess Dockers are Levi's, aren't they?
Yeah, they're Levi brand.
Yeah.
You bought some Dockers?
I've bought some Dockers recently.
I bought some... I'm kind of a like, hey, TJ Maxx has a deal on polo pants. Like, I don't even care what brand it is. Mm-hmm. If they fit and they're cheap.
That was exactly what it was with the Dockers. Yeah. It was at Kohl's and similar kind of things. Like, I need pants.
My days of those seeking out a brand are gone.
Oh, yeah.
I don't do that anymore.
Who are you wearing?
Yeah.
Says Joan Rivers on the red carpet.
Well, I'm wearing TJ Maxx. They got for $12.50. Let's see. Wide crotch. The ancient wool trousers resemble... resemble modern riding pants, says a team of led by archaeologists Erlicky Beck and Make Wagoner. Make? Yeah, Make. I guess. That's a cool name. Is it Makey?
I don't know. Makey?
I don't know.
Either one, yeah.
Of the German Archaeological Institute in Berlin. Yeah. The discoveries uncovered in the Yanghai graveyard in China's Tarim Basin support previous work suggesting that nomadic herders in Central Asia invented pants to provide bodily protection from freedom of movement. Now, I went and saw that Noah movie, and they were wearing pants. So I think Noah invented pants. I'm trying to be ridiculous here. There you go. New pants. Pants, everybody. First known pants. Yeah, I bet they smell like pants. I don't know. Wool pant. Can you imagine wet wool pants? Oh, buh.
Oh no.
Brr.
Smell like horse.
Yeah, it's bad. Anyway, there you go. Oldest pants. Go check it out. Available now. HelloFresh. HelloFresh.com.
Hello, Fresh.
They are rad. We like these guys. They're sponsoring the show. And they want to save you money. You're thinking to yourself, I haven't tried this yet, and I now found out they're in my area because I went and looked, and now I don't know what to do. Should I just do it? And I'd say, well, yeah, the answer is yes, but you should do it for the cheaper price of 50% off for your first-time order, and you can do that with the code MORNINGSTREAM. Get farm-fresh ingredients sent straight to your door, amazing meals made by real chefs, and you're the hero of the household. That's HelloFresh.com and the code MorningStream. Do it today or quit complaining about how crappy you cook. All right? One of the two things has to start happening.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
Celebrity Poop, brought to you by...
And it's brought to you by Coverville, where today you're going to hear a tribute to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees of 2014. Yes, covers of Cat Stevens, Linda Ronstadt, Peter Gabriel, Kiss, Nirvana, and Hall & Oates. Don't be out of touch. Listen to Coverville today.
Oh, lovely. By the way, somebody is making, I forgot to tell you about this. Mm-hmm. They're taking the Frog Pants logo and they're etching it on a metal fiber thinner than human hair.
What?
So
really?
You'll only be able to see it under a high power microscope. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
I can't wait to see it. They're doing it at some university where they've got all this equipment, and I'm beyond stoked about it.
You know, here's the deal. Those electron microscopes, they could easily just be bunk. And basically, we're just seeing a Photoshop graphic that somebody wants to show us, because you can't look through an actual... you have to use a microscope that has a monitor, right?
It's
got to be like... So they can put anything they want on that little monitor. It's plugged into that PC over there. Mm-hmm. And
they can fake anything. It's like video poker to me. I just don't trust
it. That's right.
It's like, yeah, sure, you can win some money. Sure. No, you won't.
52-card deck, of course.
I never hear one of those machines going. They're never going off. It's always
really?
The old ones I always hear.
I did better with video poker this week than I did with craps, actually.
Analog craps, yeah.
Yeah, craps took my money, but and video poker, really, I was just doing to get the free drink. So it's like, all right, let's go play video poker for a couple minutes, get a drink, and then we'll go back to playing something else.
Something better.
And I'd make a bunch of money back on video poker, then walk over and lose it on the craps table.
That's perfect. Here's what I want my Vegas future to be. If this doesn't happen in the next 10 years, we're doing it wrong. They need to replace dealers and table runners with Johnny Cab-style robots.
Oh, great.
And what I mean by that is it needs to be just torsoing up.
And do they need to look
pivoting,
like,
pivoting around.
Like the doctor?
Yes. And they need to be creepy as hell. And they need to be going, you have rolled a, whatever. They need to be like, they need to do all the things that a good dealer does. Way to go. You are on a roll. Ha, 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 ha. And then, like, that's what I want. And I want it to be rickety and kind of, Chuck E. Cheese kind of jerky, herky jerk.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like Hall of Presidents level jerkiness.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes.
Lincoln in the Hall of Presidents.
Lincoln.
Look at that. Scott Johnson wanted to take jobs away from perfectly good dealers. Perfect. All right. You heard it here, folks.
They'll take our nerd. All right. Celebrity Poop. Jonah Hill. Mm-hmm. You know him? He's funny when he's big and not as much when he loses much weight. Funny.
And if you close your eyes, he kind of sounds a little like Jury.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, that's so true. Him and Charlie Day.
Yeah.
Jonah Hill has apologized on the Howard Stern Show for his anti-gay slur. Actor and comedian Jonah Hill apologized for this anti-gay slur. He hurled at a paparazzi member when he was hounding him over the weekend. I'm such a split mind on this paparazzi stuff. I think it makes people say terrible things they would not normally say because they're just pissed. Yeah. It's really irritating to do what they do to people. The video shows Hill, age 32, walking with friends in Los Angeles, Larchmont neighborhood, and being followed by paparazzi videographers. The paparazzi made comments on Hill's flashy floral shorts while following him. That's when you broke the camel's back. The commentary agitated Hill, and he slung back and gave derogatory comments for gay people. Hill then explained or appeared on the Howard Stern Show on Tuesday and publicly apologized for the remarks that he'd used. The Wolf of Wall Street, or as Nicole would say, the Wolf of Wall Street actor, said that what happened, referring to the remark he gave, broke his heart and said he had been a gay rights activist his whole life.
Gotcha.
I think he used the other F
word. I was going to say he probably just used the other F word.
Yeah. The one we all said in high school and thought nothing of, that one.
Now, here you go. If you want to replace any industry with robots, how about we replace paparazzi with drones?
Oh, that's brilliant. That's awesome. Kanye, what do you say about reports your next album sucks? End of line.
They can't talk. They can just take pictures.
Oh, I want them to talk, though.
Oh,
see, that's amazing.
Angelina, over here.
Yeah. No, I want him, but I want him to do it in the robot voice. I want him to go, Brad Pitt, what do you think about your World War Z role and people thinking that it was dumb? End of line. You know? And then have right. him go, ah, and get all mad and he can punch. It's fine. You can take a punch. It'd be great.
Perfect.
I am so looking forward to those days. Speaking of Brad. That's kind of a squeery moment. I probably ought to play it.
Squeery knee.
Brad Pitt. Speaks out on that attacker deal that happened. We talked about it on the show here.
Right.
Someone attacked him at the premiere of Maleficent.
Just gave him a big old Fight Club punch.
According to Scott Kurtz, or a friend of the program, Scott Kurtz, there on the internet, cartoonist man, Scott Kurtz, mm-hmm. says that. Yeah. That movie's one of his favorite movies ever now. He loved
Fight Club or Maleficent?
Maleficent. He freaking loved it.
Wow.
Yeah. And the critics are not so loving it. The 50%, which is, you know,
yikes.
Literally half and half there, but
yeah. When's Kurtz coming to Nerdtacular?
He was supposed to come this year and then has some giant crazy divorce something happening with his, not him, but with some family member he has to kind of go help oversee in Texas.
Oh geez.
So he was coming and then that happened and then he's not, so next year. He says,
all right,
yeah, that would have been great. We would have had him on our comics panel.
Yeah, oh god, yeah, that'd been great.
But we have Howard Porter too coming.
That's equally great.
Yeah, I'm stoked. I feel bad for whoever's going, whatever panel's happening during that time. I feel bad for you.
Not me.
Oh, good. Brad Pitt has a warning for his accused attacker, Vitaly Siduik, sure. A quote, if he tries to look up a woman's dress again, he's going to get stomped. I didn't realize he was looking up his dress.
He's going to get stomped.
Was that what the problem was? I thought he attacked Brad Pitt and not looked up someone's dress. Anyway.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Huh. This is what the actor said on Monday in a statement released to People magazine. Referring to the former Ukrainian TV reporter who had two recent run-ins with the actors on the red carpet events on May 28th, he jumped the rope on the red carpet at the Maleficent premiere and attacked Pitt. Earlier in the month, he went after actress America Ferreira.
Mm.
Who's she?
Ugly Betty.
Oh, he's the one that jumped under her dress at the Cannes Film Festival.
There we go. So there you go.
Oh,
so.
That's the guy. Okay, I saw photos of that. What's going on here? I thought that was just some goof or somebody accidentally fell and got stuck under a dress.
That's some very targeted paparazzi right there.
Oh, this is the one that was on that show. I know her. She's known for that a TV show that people were sort of into, the Ugly Betty show.
Yeah.
Which I never saw a single episode of.
Said that like 4 minutes ago.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, when did you say that? Did you really?
When you said, who's America Ferrera, I said Ugly Betty.
Oh, and then I just moved past it. I don't know why I did that. All right. Well, now it's all, everything's clicking into place.
Lie down.
She's really pretty when she's not Ugly Betty.
Yeah.
What happened there?
Well, that's the whole thing.
Oh, all right. Oh, wow. Look at her. Jeez. Because the whole point is like Ugly Duckling, and then at the end of that show, she probably came out as all
right,
pretty.
Exactly. Okay. She's a swan kind of thing. Yeah.
All right. Well, I saw none of it. Did you ever see that show?
No, I never saw a single episode.
All right. Well, then you and I are in good company. So watch out.
Somebody's going to be like, oh, you got to watch them all on Netflix. Yeah. Binge watch the whole thing.
Yeah, totally. Someone will. You know they will. Yeah. You know who was really into it was, this won't surprise you because she's always into these shows, but it was Eileen, Tom's husband. Or
oh, really?
Tom's husband, Tom's wife. Tom's wife, Eileen. Sorry, Eileen. She loved that thing. She likes all the.
I think you're indicating who wears the pants in that.
I think maybe I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tom would likely agree. All right. Well, there's that.
Okay. Fine. We'll watch True Blood.
I can't watch True Blood anymore. I tried. They lost me after. What's his name? It was on the freaking news radio guy. The stapler guy from Office.
Right.
Anyway, when he died. Yeah. That was That's when I gave up. Steven Root.
That's very when I gave good.
Up. All right. What are we doing here? Let's go out of here to a break. But before we do, tweakedaudio.com with their fantastic earbuds. You know the deal. I tell you every damn day. Are you listening again? Oh, good. Well, then you already know. They're amazing. Tweakedaudio.com is the place. noise reduction is the song to sing, lifetime warranty, compatibility, all those things. All you gotta do is put in stream at checkout for 33% off. That's the most spitty 33% I've ever said. Hold on. 33% off at tweakedaudio.com with the code stream. Let's take a break. Play some music. What do you got?
All right, here's what we got. We've got High Basilicus and Spirochete. This summer will mark a massive period of change in my life. In late June, I should be submitting my PhD thesis on childhood meningococcus. Really sounding screwy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Meningococcal disease after 4 years' work. And in mid-July, I'll be leaving the UK with my girlfriend to start a new postdoctoral job in Sweden. During this time, I will also be turning 27 on the 3rd of June, although whether I will find time to celebrate amongst all the other chaos is another matter. Part of me is still surprised and amazed that my girlfriend is so willing to leave her job and up sticks to come live with me in Stockholm. And I think pick up sticks. And had she been a listener of the show, I would have dedicated a song to her and thanks. Instead, I would like to request something that I have associated with positive change and the ending of one era to begin another ever since I heard it over the ending montage of the 2011 film Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy.
Nice.
Those feelings seem to sum up what I'm looking forward to this summer, and I need the positive thoughts to get me through the last month and a half of writing. The song in question is the Julio Iglesias cover of the 1940s French song La Mer. Yes, Scott, that's French for the mare. Although the tune is better known in the U.S. and the U.K. by its English translation, parenthetical somewhere, Beyond the Sea. If you could play that Julio Iglesias cover or another cover of the French version or an unusual English version, if you don't want to play a foreign version of the song, either on my birthday on the 3rd of June or sometime later in June, it would be great and help me through the last month of writing my thesis. Thanks, guys, and row, row, row your boat. Phil from the UK.
Nice.
So I wasn't able to get a hold of the Julio Iglesias version. It was funny, though. As I was looking for that, I did come across a cover album that Julio Iglesias released in the last few years that's got covers of Drive by The Cars and Careless Whisper by Wham.
Yeah, yeah.
So snatch that one up. However, I do have a really good version that when somebody says Beyond the Sea to me, this is my go-to version because this guy is so great. A couple of years ago, Jeff Lynne of ELO fame and
I love that guy.
The Traveling Wilburys, yeah. He released an album called Long Wave, and the whole thing was covers. It was great covers, and it's got that awesome Jeff Lynne Electric Light Orchestra feel to it, but it feels new. It feels fresh. The song was originally released by Charles Trenet and Jack Lawrence, but everybody kind of associates it with Bobby Darin, who had a really popular version, a very early popular version of the song. Here is Jeff Lynne from his album Long Wave and a cover of Beyond the Sea.
Sounds good to me. We'll be back in a minute with our recommendals. Nicole's at a dental appointment, but we'll be doing them in her stead.
Yeah.
And Tom after that with his tech time. Oh, yeah. Okay, here tech it is. Time. Beyond the Sea. We'll be back in a minute.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me, my lover stands on golden sand and watches the ships that go sailing somewhere beyond the sea. They'll watch it for me. If I could fly like birds on high, then straight to her arms I'd go sailing. It's far beyond the star, it's near beyond the moon. I know kiss just as before. Happy we'll be beyond the sea, and never again I'll go sailing. We'll be right back. as before. Happy we'll be beyond the sea. And never again I'll go sailing. No more sailing. So long sailing. Bye bye sailing.
When hay fever pollen invades your sinuses, brings runny nose, watery eyes, take Dristan. Dristan's like sending your sinuses to Arizona. Yes, Dristan's like sending your sinuses to Arizona. That is, Dristan helps you breathe free and easy, as if you were far away from pollen or allergy irritation. Yes, Dristan's like sending your sinuses to Arizona. Helps dry, runny nose, itchy, watery eyes. You see, Dristan tablets shrink swollen, congested nasal and sinus passages which cause runny nose and watery eyes. So you breathe free and easy fast. So when pollen invades your sinuses causing hay fever miseries, don't wish you could be in sunny, dry Arizona. Just remember, Dristan's like sending your sinuses to Arizona. Get Dristan decongestant tablets.
The murderer is a cat.
By the power of Grayskull, this is the Morning Stream.
Choosing Dristan is like taking your nose to Arizona. Yeah.
All right. That guy drives me slightly nuts.
A little bit.
Listen
yeah.
to this.
Dristan's like sending your sinuses to Arizona.
That's just such a dumb tagline.
To hang out with Nicole.
Right. In Surprise, Arizona. She hates it when I tell everyone where she lives.
Oh, no. They can hang out at the Safeway and watch out for her.
They're going to find me.
All right. We're gonna do, let's see, our own version of this. I got to find the thing. Hold on a second. Jeez, God. Okay, here it is right here. No Nicole today. She's at a dental appointment for Mateo. I should mention that. It's not even for her. It's for the boy. It's only two, but, you know,
yeah.
Kids and their
what
teeth.
Could he, what could he need with his teeth this early?
I know, right? To eat, I'm guessing. We're going to... I wish I could go back to when I was two and then never not brush my teeth again. Because I went through this period of like 8 to 11 where I was terrible at it. Just never brushed my teeth. And as a result, I have all kinds of like crazy fillings and dental issues that all come from that. It's all from being a dumb kid.
Yeah.
And I said to my mom, why didn't you force me? Why didn't you make me? And she's like, I shouldn't have to make you. When I'm 8, you have to when I'm 8. I wasn't like an autonomous adult when I was 8.
Oh my God, how many times as a parent do you say that to your kids too? I shouldn't have to make you.
Yeah, I shouldn't have to tell you that. Yes, you should.
Ah!
All right, let's move on. let's talk about, so I got a recommendal.
Yeah.
I've mentioned it a little bit on the show while I was sort of in the thick of it, but because HBO put all their stuff on, at least all their archival stuff on Amazon Prime, I've been spending a decent amount of time there, especially at night, and staying up way too late. Watching, I guess. There's no AKA to that. You know, watching, AKA using my eyeballs to see something. to watch a bunch of that. And I, you know, did the Pacific the week ago or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. And I'm already into Band of Brothers again after I finish the thing I'm about to tell you about. But I forget how good their miniseries are. They're just insanely good. And by miniseries, I mean they usually do like a 10-part thing. It's like a weird HBO tradition, right? 10 episodes, like 10 hours of whatever, and then they're out. And I watched Generation Kill, which is, just to give a short description, basically follows a platoon of a few squads of Marines as they are sort of the tip of the arrow the day we invade Iraq or the month we invade Iraq. And it follows these guys through all of that process and all of the things you see and all of the typical horrors of war, but also a lot of like tedium and boredom and stuff not happening and them wanting to get into the fray and not being allowed to because the commanders have other ideas for them or whatever. You see some people cracking under the pressure. You see other people dealing with it with humor. everybody I've talked to who's been in the actual military say that that show has it down to a science. Wow. That they have nailed everything about what it's like to be a Marine in modern day sort of war situations. And here's the funny bit, Brian. It's full of a bunch of actors. Some of them you know, some of them you don't, but they're all really good. Alexander Sarsgaard, who I guess is the True Blood ancient vampire man. I don't know him very well from that, but he's amazing in this. Big, tall, okay. strong, rad Marine. He's kind of the star, I would say, but it's kind of it's very much an ensemble thing. He's really good in it, though. And his driver is the guy that drives the Humvee for the most part and is in his squad. His name is Ray, and Ray is genuinely one of the funniest people I've ever seen on TV. I was dying laughing at this guy.
Really?
Here's the weird bit, though. The entire series, not one piece of music. None.
Oh, really? No score, no nothing?
Nope. Nothing for dramatic anything, and you don't notice. And in fact, it kind of like No Country for Old Men adds to it. Because No Country for Old Men, don't forget, had zero score in it. No soundtrack. Well, it had sound, but it didn't have music at all. Yeah. And a lot of people forget that because it's still just as emotionally resonant or just as intense or whatever. I wish more things would experiment with not crutching music as a way to bring out emotion. You know what I mean? So a lot of movies and TV shows, they will use music to get you excited or sad or whatever, right?
Right, right.
And
they don't need that for this.
They don't need it. They totally didn't need it. And it was really, really good without it.
Huh.
I can't say enough about it. And again, definitely not for kids. There ain't no nudity or any weirdness, stuff like that.
No, but I'm sure there's F-bombs aplenty.
Oh, it's so the sweariest, vulgarest language you've ever heard in parts. But again, my buddies in the Army and Marines say, that's how it is. Especially in the Marines. It's all alpha males, all competing to a challenge each other. I mean, that's what the Marine Corps is. And it's a really, really fascinating look at that war specifically. And, just kind of how that stuff went down and having crappy Humvees with bad armor and just all of the issues you heard about from afar, seeing it from the perspective of people who had to use it. Mm-hmm. It's not a documentary, but it plays out almost as good as one. I don't know. I was really impressed. Really, really liked it. So that's my recommendation for the week.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Well, I will definitely check that
Generation
out.
Generation Kill, now on Amazon Prime streaming. Okay. What'd you see?
What'd
you do?
Last week, Tina and I watched on Netflix streaming Don John, the Joseph Gordon-Levitt movie.
Yeah, with Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson's in it. Juliette Moore is in it. Tony Danza plays Joseph Gordon-Levitt's dad and kind of gives Joseph Gordon-Levitt kind of an actor to kind of, I don't know about mimic, but kind of sound like. He definitely sounds like a Tony Danza in his Tony the Taxi Driver kind of prime. Glenn Headley plays his mom. Really, really interesting movie about addiction to online porn.
Oh wow.
so not for kids.
Mm.
And there's a healthy sampling of nudity in there. You don't see any man wiener, if that's what you're wondering.
Oh, well, I'm always wondering that. So
yes. But no, really, really good. And this is actually directed and written by Joseph Gordon-Levitt, his first movie that he directed. So he did a great job with it. Great job acting in it. It's directed well. It's written well. It's definitely worth seeing.
Oh, well, that's nice. I heard it was good at the time.
Yeah. Don't watch it with kids, though.
I don't like the whole, like, his Jersey Shore guy vibe.
Yeah.
I hate that kind of stereotype. Not stereotype, but I hate that archetype. And so
he takes it to the extreme of that stereotype in this, too, as far as, like, the...
so misogynistic and just...
the Pauly D, the...
the hair and the tan and the laundry.
Right,
and
well, and everything. The way he talks, the way he treats women, all that stuff is exactly what you saw on Jersey Shore. And it's definitely a connection there.
Who's Juliette Moore? Who the heck is that?
That's, I'm sorry, Julianne Moore.
Oh, Julianne Moore.
Did I say Juliette Moore?
Yes. Oh, I like Julianne Moore.
Dermot McRolney.
McRolney, right. I liked her
It wouldn't be a recommendal segment without mispronouncing somebody's name, would it?
It would not. I liked her in something I saw recently. It's old. She's pretty good as Clarice in the Hannibal movie is what I was getting at.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah,
I really like her. Big Lebowski, she's awesome.
She's in everything.
Yeah.
She's all over the place. Anyway, well, good. Well, there's two recommendations for you, folks.
For sure.
With those what you may.
Let's call Tom.
calling Tom, getting him on the phone, talking about tech. You know the drill. You know the stuff.
Yeah,
I know it.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man, the legend.
The man.
That is Tom Merritt. Hello, Tom.
Speaking of the Kung Fu master, Tom Merritt.
Hey, was I completely up smoking the crack when I said that Eileen was into, what was it called now? I already forgot. Brian, what was the TV show?
It was the Ugly Betty.
Ugly Betty. Wasn't she into that show?
Maybe. A long time ago.
Okay. All
right. I think she watched it.
Okay. Because it ended in like 2010, and I swear that she was always singing its praises like pre-show on AppSlappy. I swear that was what we talked about. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if she watched that much. I mean, Modern Family, big fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that was it. Maybe. I don't know. It seemed like that was one of her things or one of her. Wasn't that a WB thing? I think it was. And she was always all up in the
CW.
The CW. She was. I got to get with the times here, but she was always into like all the vampire stuff coming out of there. And I, for some reason, have that.
Oh,
one
yeah, right.
In my head, right. And there were no vampires in Ugly Betty, as far as I know. Although that would have been,
they didn't come forward if they were there.
That would have been a twist I could have gotten into, though. I have to admit.
Ugly vampires.
It's good to have Tom here as always. He's the guy that comes on and talks about tech, which is great because we don't get enough of that on our show, and so we try to do it here. And everyone,
and Tom, could you adjust your microphone a little bit? You're coming in a little on the quiet side. At least I'm hearing.
Oh, I thought that was me.
Let me make sure you're getting the right microphone. Then.
Oh, that could be. Well, you sound good, but you're
still low.
You sound quiet.
You sound low.
Like you don't.
Yeah, I don't know why that would be.
That's better.
I didn't do anything.
Oh, something changed. That's weird. Did it change, Brian? I hear
he is a little bit louder now.
I don't know what happened.
I didn't touch a thing.
Oh, man.
All I did was open settings in Skype.
I think that did it.
To make sure that I had the right thing connected.
Oh, that's funny. I think that did it.
Maybe that did it. Yeah,
Skype kind of sucks.
Maybe that did it. So you're right. I did one thing. I opened settings in Skype. I didn't change it.
You jiggled the handle.
It's like, oh, no, he's coming to the settings. Well, oh, okay, okay. Yeah.
As a technology analyst, I can confirm.
Make sure that you shake Tom's hand coming up at Nerdtacular, because that's maybe one of the few times you get to see him this year. Maybe not. But I'm excited about Tom coming.
I'm such a recluse.
I know. It's a rare thing to catch a wild Tom Merritt in the wild. So let's get to the tech. What's going on today that's interesting you and making you want to prepare it for Daily Tech News Show?
I'll be honest. I know everybody's still talking about WWDC, and I have to admit that this is probably one of the biggest feature revs of both iOS 8 and OS 10.
Yeah.
That Apple has done in quite a while. It's wide and shallow, though. I don't feel like there's any big thing that's coming from these. But like little bits are still coming out. I was just reading now that you can do AirPlay directly from iOS 8 to Apple TV without having to go through the Wi-Fi network. So if I'm over at your house, Scott, I don't have to connect my phone to your Wi-Fi network. I can just go, oh, there's your Apple TV, boom, and send my vacation photos and bore the tears out of you.
Yeah, see the ad hoc. Although I wouldn't mind seeing those.
That sounds. That sounds like it could be a secure, like a you walk into some place that's running that's got stuff being projected by Apple TV. Can you just hijack it and?
I imagine on the Apple TV, you probably have to confirm it on both sides.
Yeah, you still have to pair it.
Okay.
You still have to pair it. But here's the thing: like this is exactly what the PS4 does with Remote Play with the Vita. It's exactly the same. You have two options.
And DLNA has done this for a long time. So it's another example of Apple going, we've invented a thing that's existed for a long time.
Yeah. Well, I think where it appeals to me is it's like, oh, well, hey, here's the thing I already used from them. Now it'll be nice to ad hoc that thing right in. It'll be better performance, quicker, less buffering. Like all those advantages suddenly are cool with a thing I was already using. So I guess that's good. But my feeling coming away with it was twofold. One, threefold. I think you're right. It is lots of little cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
nothing big and earth shattering.
Well, no, but enough little cool stuff that it got me excited that they're kind of, it felt like foundational work to me.
Yeah.
It felt like shoring up your strengths, like the strength of your app store and what people can do with it. And, this new language being released.
And this was the Worldwide Developers Conference. So rightly so that this was something that was a Christmas for developers.
Yeah. More like so than usual. Yeah.
Yeah. The extension's ability alone has got people like dancing and pumping their fists.
Yeah.
That they can actually like potentially put a different keyboard somewhere or access. Access another app as long as they have that app's permission. That stuff we've been able to do on computers since the 80s, you can now do it.
That was something that kind of got me excited because for a while, Apple's had this big mentality, the last couple of years, this big mentality about sandboxing. And this thing cannot talk to this other thing. And this thing is in its own little area and it cannot access anything outside of that. And that actually has broken a lot of things that we use as podcasters for routing audio back and forth.
Sure.
Now that the stuff they were talking about with the sandboxing is mostly on the iOS. Do you think that this is something that if it goes well for the iOS, maybe they bring back to the Mac?
No, it has nothing to do with it. They're totally different things. In fact, what's going on with iOS is you don't actually have multitasking. So, Brian, if you could tell Scott that I want to access him, that would be how iOS works.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
What OS X does is OS X has true multitasking, but they're protecting certain things on the processor side. So it's kind of an entirely different.
Yeah, those are unrelated yet they feel like they're similar.
Because what you're talking about with the sound card particularly is having access to internal processes rather than having access to other applications.
To another app. Okay, gotcha. Like, makes
it'd be like
sense.
Me wanting to copy and paste something from Photoshop into Word and having to make sure that they get permission from each other to do that.
Is kind of let's say Scott is iOS 8.
Yeah.
Because he looks so much like it.
Like a figure eight, I know.
He gets mistaken for it all the time. Are you iOS? No, Scott Johnson.
I make some people sick when they use me. Yeah.
So in iOS 8, if I want to access the Brian Ibbett app, I have to tell Scott, hey, give Brian Ibbett this information. And up till now, Scott would be like, nope, not going to do it.
Nope. Sorry.
With iOS 8,
access him your damn self.
Scott is like, no problem. I'll pass it along. Right.
Gotcha.
With OS 10, I could just go straight to you and say, hey, Ibbett, what's going on? I'm an application, but I couldn't actually access Scott's soundboard because he's still the operating system.
Well,
you would be able to reach into my back pocket.
No,
without asking me and saying,
not properly encrypted, I might be able.
Yeah, I might be able to. This is true. So the thing is, the other thing I got out of this thing was there's two other bits to this. I thought that there seemed to be a big underlying, not talked about entirely, but a sort of hidden meaning behind all of the game improvement stuff. The metal layer thing they talked about.
Oh yeah.
I think all of this stuff is leading to some kind of competitive something with the Apple TV or something television game related where iOS games will be playable there. A controller would be there. Essentially do what Fire TV claims to be doing and others are doing at a very cheap and less expensive alternative with a huge potential library to mainstream consoles like an Xbox One or a PS4. I think that stuff is probably coming at some point. And I think all of that other stuff just kind of helped, I don't know, solidify some of that tech so that they could do it quickly and easily and be able to come out on stage and go, and all, 200,000 games we already have on the App Store just work. You know, they're just going to work. They may not work great on controllers and things like that, but I think that's what they're going to do.
I think part of what you just said is probably dead on. Mm-hmm. We tend to want to interpret announcements as evidence of ulterior motives.
Yeah.
This is just human tendency, right? Yeah. Like, oh, they did metal on the phone. That's a little weird to do gaming, but it's probably because of the other thing. Actually, the way these companies generally work is they say, we need a better way to do games across platforms. Make something called metal, and let's figure out where we can implement it. And the first place they could implement it was on iOS. And they're like, great. Let's see. And this is where I think you're 100% right. Let's see if we can implement that on Apple TV. And there's somebody doing that right now inside of Apple, I would guess, with 98% certainty. The question is whether they're actually going to end up bringing that to market.
Yeah.
That's where I start to go, well, hold on now. Apple has to have a justifiable reason not only to do it, but to say it's good enough for us. Because remember, Apple, even without Steve Jobs, still doesn't do stuff unless they're 100% sure that it's a good user experience. That's why they're so far behind. That's why Android people are making fun of all these announcements from WWDC, because they're like, we've had that for ages. Apple only comes out with them when they think they're bulletproof. Whether metal on Apple TV is bulletproof is a question. And whether Apple is ready to turn Apple TV into a game machine is another question.
Yeah.
And whether Apple thinks having games on a console in your living room is a viable business that they should mess with is an entirely separate question, because it's not going to threaten the Xbox One and the PS4. It's going to threaten the Wii U and the Ouya and all of these other things.
Yeah, I agree. And I also like the sarcastic way you said Ouya. Also, not really, but I hate that piece of crap.
My Midwestern accent.
That thing is a piece of crap, by the way. It's garbage. I don't know why people are buying Ouyas.
Ouya.
So third thing I got from it. I think what's his name, that was out there like 90% of the time?
Craig Federighi?
I think that Apple has struggled with one thing since the loss of Steve Jobs, and that is, what is our stage presence at these events, at these conferences, and at these launches? What are we doing?
You know what, Scott? I'll let you finish, but I don't think Apple gives a flying rat.
You don't think they care?
Patootie about it. I think we have struggled with that.
Okay, fair enough. I think we have struggled with it, and I think that may have trickled up to them. I think that they may wish that that was less of a distraction for people listening to these events and talking too much about, man, what Steve is out there, he sure commanded an audience. This Tim Cook is boring or whatever. I think that bothers them, or it should. I think this guy is the answer. And he was out there so much, I think that was all on purpose. I don't mean that he was a plant to like, hey, look at this guy. He's a pretty good presenter, isn't he? He's super smart. He knows his stuff. When he was talking developer speak, that was all like, that's not a guy faking it. That's not somebody up there going, and
this is what they told me to say.
Right. No, he knew these things. He knew these language constructs. He knew this terminology. Like, that guy was nailing it. And I walked away from his presentation going, I think Apple has their new guy to spend 80% of the time on stage with and let him talk about all the big stuff, because he was really, really good. I may not agree with his weird hair, but other than that, he was pretty awesome. So I don't know. That just stuck with me. It just was like, all right, here we go. This is a real presenter here. And let Tim Cook come out and do your big picture. Let this dude come out and do the specifics. Bring out Phil, what's his name, when it's got to be hardware. That's your team. That's your Steve Jobs replacement right there.
I don't think Apple's tried to replace Steve Jobs in the presentation. I think Steve Jobs wouldn't let anyone else talk until he got far enough advanced in his illness that he just didn't have the energy to finish, and he started bringing other people up. But you remember, he used to do the whole thing himself.
Yeah.
That's who he was.
Right.
Most companies, when they do presentations, have the product lead come out. And if that product lead is not very good, they'll stick a celebrity in there to kind of help things along. Apple's never done the let's stick a celebrity thing. They haven't had to with Steve Jobs. And I think all you're seeing is that they understand that Tim Cook is not the best presenter, and so there's no reason to make him do everything. Tim Cook himself probably agrees, like, yeah, I'm not going to get out there. Craig's much better at this presentation. But I don't think you're going to see Craig doing all the presentations. Mm. He's the guy that leads that team, and he's good at that presentation. So they're going to use him for that. And they kind of apologized to him a couple times, like, sorry, we're working you so hard today, buddy, but you're good at this. So yeah. I'm with you on that. Like, they let him do the majority of it because he is good at it. But I also don't think they're looking for the guy to replace Steve Jobs. I think they're just in every presentation going, okay, who's on this team that's knowledgeable about this? Who can do the presentation?
Yeah, it's a happy accident, perhaps, that he's just really good at.
He was entertaining.
Yeah.
Little, some people thought he was a little cheesy. It all depends on your taste.
Well, a little cheesy, but also super enthusiastic. Like, I really got the impression that this guy was into it, and
yeah,
I like that in my, you know, again, this wasn't for me, and you would hear them, you know, talking about Stack Overflows and weird code references and the crowd going wild, and you were automatically reminded like, oh yeah, this is a developers conference.
This is for them. Yeah.
And Apple coaches these people a lot.
Yeah.
As evidenced by when Tim Sweeney, who has not been coached by Apple, came out.
Yeah, he was, well, and Tim Sweeney is at his very core nature, he's a freaking genius, but he is one of the most awkward human beings on the planet. that's okay. He's not unlike Carmack or any of the other incredibly talented guys in that arena, these programmatic geniuses.
But I guess my point is, most of the Apple guys are probably like that too, until they get put through the ringer.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
Who knows what Craig Federighi looked like on stage before he got a little training.
He wore those already high pants about 4 inches higher, I'm guessing. Yeah, all
that. That hair was even taller.
All right. Well, I had a good time with it. I guess I was Maybe I'm past the point where it's like, I can't wait to see what Apple does, and then having them not do a thing I had overhyped expectations for.
Right.
And now I've settled into, well, this is going to be, it's going to be stuff. How will it affect me or impact me? Oh, free upgrade on the OS. Great. You know, all these kind of things. But I found myself pleasantly surprised and kind of super interested in their apparent interest in really getting behind developers, maintaining that kind of iOS first app store kind of mentality that still exists, and, right. and keep that machine running with new tools and new abilities and new stuff for them, so that we benefit with better apps, you know, better
they
user experience.
They giveth and taketh away at the same time, though. As they added extensions, which really opens up the platform for developers, it's not open. Open is the wrong word. They actually went from OpenGL to Metal, right?
Yeah.
So less open. They went from Objective-C to the new scripting language. Less open.
Is it called Swift? Is that it?
Swift, yeah. Swift only works on iOS. Objective-C works on lots of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, the
so they may be right that it's bloated.
With another, they take it away.
Sure, they may be right that it's bloated or whatever, but they're introducing something that, you know, depending on adoption, even wide adoption, still means it's an Apple-focused
and that's what Apple does.
Right.
They like, you know what, we can do it better, so we're going to, and we don't care if this, you know, messes with the rest of the ecosystem.
Right. And there's stuff to admire about that, and there's stuff to be irritated about that.
Yeah. And there always has been. Sure. It's always been the advantage and the disadvantage of Apple. You get these certain things because of that, and that's what people who like Apple love, but you lock down these other things, and that's what people who like Windows and Android don't like. So.
All right. Well, I like it when you come on here and get all logical and stuff.
You know, it's
like
annoying.
I like it. No, it brings us all back from whatever edge we're on.
You know, it was funny as we ended up talking about WWDC. I was attending at the beginning of this conversation to go, I know there's all this stuff, but I'm really excited about Computex in Taiwan. Because they got crazy stuff going on, yeah. Like Intel's tablet that runs full Windows 8.1 Pro that's thinner than an iPad Air.
Whoa.
They've got Asus making a tablet laptop phone combo that runs Android and Windows.
Whoa. What? Really? Yes. Both?
The Transformer 5.
That's crazy.
It's basically a hybrid tablet. So a tablet with a detachable keyboard. Mm. So that makes it a laptop and a tablet. But then it's also like a pad phone where you can dock a phone into the back. So it comes with a phone. The phone is Android. The tablet's Windows. And when you dock the phone into the tablet, you can choose to run off the phone's processor in Android with the keyboard, or you can choose to run Windows.
When it combines it, does it say, is it a logo that says Anblows on the front? Because that would be great.
Windroid.
Anblows. Windroid's pretty good, too.
Windroid.
Wow, yeah. See? Roll out, it says. It's funny, though. This is such a different... You just described the approaches, the change in approach. Like, that is so... Whoa, what a weird idea. That's crazy. What an unproven, crazy thing. And Apple's like, we are only doing uncrazy, proven things. You know?
We will let applications talk to each other.
We are not programmed to love. Yeah. Anyway, fascinating stuff. Big stuff for you then, because, man, you got to cover this stuff, and this is all happening, and exciting times for Tom Merritt, I would say.
Yeah, it's a good week. Good news. Lots of good news. Not just Apple, but for all flavors of technology fanboy.
Indeed. Or girl. Yeah, or girl, right. Daily Tech News Show is where you'll find more, of course. Any other things you would like to point eyeballs to this week?
I would like to remind the citizens of Frog Pants, Tadpool, and Points Beyond that the FSL is in full swing with week one action this Saturday.
Oh.
The preview episode is up at fsltonight.com. If you like to hear something that sounds like sports radio, but involves franchises of your favorite science fiction and fantasy fandom, this is the thing for you. And looks like the Scaro Exterminators have a good shot this year. The Ponyville Phillies are much beloved in some quarters. The Cylon Raiders have joined the league as well. So it's going to be interesting. And don't forget that the All-Star Game will be happening the same week as Nerdtacular. So Justin Robert Young and myself from Dragon Sports Talk Radio will be giving you the post-game analysis of the All-Star Game live at Nerdtacular.
Oh, man. That's a hell of a thing. And that's happening the weekend of the 3rd, 4th, and whatever the hell it is. 3rd, 4th, and 5th, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody be there and come hang out with us and have some fun and watch as I, Patrick Beja, and Justin Robert Young destroy everybody in the Frog Pants All-Stars competition.
That's right.
And a fourth member to be determined. Is that later. False advertising when you promise something that's not going to happen?
Let the smack talk begin.
Yeah, well, it's begun, man. Flung the dirt is in my eye or something.
That's we got a, this smack talk hat.
Ace Detect on Twitter. It's Tom Mayer, everybody. Follow him and be with him and spend time with him. It's always a good time. Tom, thanks so much.
Thanks, y'all.
Bye now. Tom.
Alrighty.
Very good. I forgot who's on Tom's team. He had a really good lineup.
Yeah,
he's
a good team too.
He's got.
I don't feel like any of the teams are weak. I think they've all got
Willie Dills and the Double Clicks.
That's
on his
right.
team.
That's good. They're all nerds. All yes. of them. It's going to be bad for us. Perhaps, but all teams are strong. I don't feel bad mm-hmm. about any of them.
No, the ping pong ball method shuffled them out nicely.
I agree. Nice
good
job
decalation.
On that. Here we go. Let's get the emails. They're brought to you by.
Brought to you by. I didn't
Coverville.
Think of something
Coverville
for this
today?
One.
You already do Coverville. Again. Oh, you did earlier. That's right.
It's 2 p.m. today. If I didn't mention it before, Coverville.com/live.
Perfect. Dear Lefty and Global Warmers. Says Steve. He says, "Dear Lefty and Global Warmers, I am a recent convert to the show." Convert? Or are you just
convert.
Listening? I think he's what do you mean?
Sure.
You don't have to be converted.
No, but you know.
Leaving another show for us. That's weird.
Right.
Having stumbled upon it while idly skimming through the tech section in the Windows Phone podcast software. Well, that's weird. We're in the tech section.
We're in tech?
I don't know why. Right. We shouldn't be. I am now addicted. You two are the funniest things since the noise Boba Fett made when he went into the Sarlacc pit. Isn't that What
yeah,
was
something
it?
Like that.
It's like a terrible.
Oh no!
You know the two worst sounds in Star Wars are that and Chewbacca doing Tarzan when he was swinging across the thing.
Oh, jeez!
I hated that so much. In fact, you know what? Let's just play a little game.
Do you have it?
I do, but I don't know if I'm going to try to find it.
Okay.
Chewbacca. What do I have to say in the sounds? Chewbacca, Tarzan. Here we go. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here it is. See if you... Oh, that makes me want to shoot things. That's so bad.
That's really bad.
What the hell are they thinking? Anyway, what's my point? My point is, I'm reading his email. That's my point. He says, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I thought I would send you guys an enthusiastic 2 thumbs up here from Kansas. Even my kids love the show, although my 5-year-old still gets irate every time Scott pronounces Spider-Man. I can't help but laugh. Yeah, I know it's Spider-Man. I know, little boy, but it's Spider-Man is funny to say. My kids do it now, too.
Spider-Man.
They all do it. Say, Dad, we should watch the first Batman, they'll say. Now down to brass tacks. I thought of a cover. Oh, it's a cover request. I didn't realize that was in here. You know what I'll do? I'll leave that in there, and then you can copy that over to what's his
name. All right. Let's see here. Okay, sure.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye from the wasteland that is the Midwest, Steve. All right. I don't know. Kansas has a special place in my heart because I realize it's kind of a big open thing, but mm-hmm. I'm glad it exists.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What's
well, otherwise the U.S. would look like a big donut.
Yeah. Who wants that? Not I. No. Hey, Scuba and the Bends. Says,
that's good. That's a good rock band name.
It is
right
pretty
there.
Good, except you don't want to be the Bends.
No.
Bernie wrote in, says, Scott asked about what Zachary Quinto is up to. You know he's got talent. Anywho, I may have recommended this to you before, but Zachary Quinto was in a brilliant movie in 2010 called Margin Call. It was a scenario of a housing crisis in a big financial institution. Check the cast. Kevin Spacey, by the way, Scott, watch House of Cards. Paul, voice of Jarvis. Paul Bettany. Mm-hmm. Stanley, announcer in Hunger Games, Tucci. Simon Baker, Jeremy Irons, and Demi Moore. Demi Moore, he wrote.
Demi Moore.
Tis really
not
good.
Not a full Moore, but just a Demi
Moore. Just a Demi Moore. All right. I do remember somebody, maybe it was you, recommending this to us, Bernie, and I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. It's not streaming, but it is available on Netflix for, you know, your DVD action.
No streaming anywhere?
Did not look at, let me look at Can I Stream It?
Can
is that the good one to use? There was one that somebody else was recommending.
Nicole used Can I Stream It and said that it was telling her lies.
Yeah,
and
what's
I don't
the
know
other
what
one
the
that,
other one was. What was that called?
People recommend.
What is it called? Something call? Margin Call.
Margin Call is the movie, yeah. Yeah, nothing. It's available for digital rental on iTunes and YouTube,
Amazon,
and Redbox
Play
Instant.
And, yeah, all that stuff. Purchase Blu-ray and rental. Yeah, not streaming anywhere. Can I stream it is really helpful and useful, but it bugs me that they were fibbing.
It makes me worry that I can't trust it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that feeling. I like feeling trust.
Yidio says empty the void. Let me try Yidio.
I like where I know this isn't going to happen. So bad. Oh my gosh. What were they doing?
I think that's even that even bothers me more than Jar Jar, and that's saying a lot.
It does too. There's a lot to like about that third movie, and there's a lot to hate. There's a lot of Muppets in it. It's too many Muppets. It's a Muppet movie.
Margin Call is... Oh, so Yidio is not the thing I was thinking of. Oh, there it is right there. Amazon, Yidio? But it doesn't tell me if it's... So it says watch now on Vudu, watch now on iTunes, watch now on Amazon, but it doesn't say whether or not it's...
streaming or buy?
Right, like if it's Amazon Prime, for example.
Well, then screw these guys.
That does not help me.
Well...
That helps me not.
Hey, Prince Oberon, you got something in your eye.
Jeez.
All right. Moving on.
Oberon.
Got a lot of... What'd I say, Oberon?
Yeah.
Oberon's what I meant.
Well, only because I made that same mistake and my buddy Don corrected me.
Oh,
Brian, it's Oberon.
I do it all the time. We got a bunch of emails saying either people had... Oh, so I got two kinds of emails yesterday. One that said, I totally have no idea what you were spoiling.
Good,
so
good.
Mission accomplished. Or they said, I totally know what you're talking about because they'd seen it.
Right.
Mission accomplished.
No, you did a very good job. You did a very good job of talking about a thing in a way that did not spoil it for those who hadn't seen it.
That's how we're going to do that from now on. So next time you got something big like that, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear that Brian saw something, and then he's going to describe it as if it was an episode of Cake Boss or something.
The other option, of course, is you can just wait 2 weeks, and then you can just basically say anything you want to say about it.
All Breaking Bad spoilers to be given in that voice from now on. That would be great.
Look out for what's in the trunk. Oh, no, he's pulling out the garage door opener. I love that.
I tricked you, didn't I? You want some lemonade? All right, here we go to get out of here. Let's get out of here. Thank you all for being here. Thank you so much. Tomorrow is Therapy Thursday. Good thing, too, because the week after that, Wendy's in California, we will not have one. So we got to have one tomorrow. Mm. We'll also have an extra long TMS PM.
Yes.
I wonder if Atlanta...
An extra long PM.
I wonder if Atlanta boy will call, be willing to call and ask five questions.
Oh, you want him? Yeah, I can. He
Do you
said
want to
that
initialize
he was up
that?
I will get the ball rolling on that.
That's a good way to get that extra time that we want.
Yeah. Five questions or three questions?
Five.
How would we say?
Let's five. Do five. Okay. Yeah. Five questions, and they can be as dumb as ridiculous as he wants them to be. Some people are going to hate this. Some people are going to love it. One way or the other, you get an extra half hour on the show tomorrow.
Jury's sure going to love it. He'd love that thing.
He would like that. Oh, by the way, Jury will be here tomorrow at news time. We missed him this week, he's going to hang out in the news portion of the show.
It'll be like the old times when we had Jury and Wendy on the same show.
Yeah, exactly. Except that we won't end at 11:30 p.m. Mountain Time, and everyone should be working and doing other things. Frogpants.com/TMS is our address on the website, on the internet there. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. On Twitter, MorningStream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville. And Coverville, speaking of which, you're going to play a little song now, and it'll be rad.
I am. It is going to be rad, people. People, it's rad.
I believe it.
Let me make sure this is the right one. Yes, dear Belka and Strelka, the Russian dogs that were sent into orbit and returned alive.
Oh, right.
One of my most constant friends over the last 17 years, a constant friend, turned me on to the instance while we were in residency, and I've been a tadpooler ever since. On June 7th, he's celebrating a birthday, and it'd be awesome if you could play any cover of Africa for him as his heart for service continues to call him back to the Dark Continent. His name is James, and he's one of the best doctors, friends, and people I know. I hope his birthday is full of awesome. Pee the ha, though. Jerry Tolbert, M.D. Jerry nice. L. Tolbert, M.D.
Nice.
So I like that we have doctors listening to the show. And
I do too. Lawyers, doctors. Oh, I heard from lawyers. I got to reply to them.
Oh,
but,
good job.
Yeah. So yeah, all you got to do is ask, and these people come out of the woodwork. It's great.
So if there are any porn actresses who are
wanting to...
I have a question. Just send me an email. That's all.
You need a rehearsal partner? Give Brian a call.
No.
He's here for you.
Happily married. All right. So we've played our share of Africa covers on this show. I don't think we've played this one. And it's funny because somebody, I think a couple episodes ago, was remarking about some ukulele bit that was in a song that we played, saying, oh, are ukuleles still cool? Well, yes, they are. And you know who's going to prove it to you is the Wellington International Ukulele Orchestra. Darn right they are. This is from their Dreaming EP from 2009. It's a cover of Toto's Africa.
All right. I love this song and I love covers of it. So here it is. We'll be back tomorrow for more TMS. Be here or be squeery.
Tonight, she hears only whispers of some quiet conversation. She's coming in 12:30 flight. Moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some long forgotten words or ancient melody. Turned to me as if to say, hurry boy, it's waiting there for you. It's gonna take a lot to drag me away from you. There's nothing that 100 men or more could ever do. I bless the rains down in Africa. Gonna take some time to do the things we never what's right, sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti. I seek to cure what's deep inside, frightened of this thing that I've become.
Audio program so good, it's like you're there! who's got the front seats of the Mexican hat dance now.